With me to Romans, the 12th chapter. And we're going to begin back in. We haven't gotten very far. We started Romans, the 12th chapter, the first verse, and we've kind of camped there for a while, and now we're to the third verse through the eighth verse, and we haven't got past the eighth verse yet, and we'll just keep on until we finish, and I think we can. I'm going to take this chapter out to the end because I think it's very important, and we'll take it out to the end. We're going to learn about hopefully get onto the gifts, some of the gifts of the Spirit this morning, but there's still some more relevant information to give you before we get to that. And then after that, we're going to talk about how a Christian ought to be. We won't get there today, but we will next week, hopefully, how a Christian ought to behave and how they ought to act, especially a Spirit-filled, Spirit-led Christian. And well, there's no other kind, actually. Whether you believe in speaking in tongues or not, you're a Spirit-led, should be a Spirit-filled, Spirit-led Christian. If you're not, you're probably not a Christian. Come on now, that's the truth. Whether you like it or not, either you are or you're not. Either you're light or you're dark. I mean, you know, you're in the light or you're in the darkness still. And I don't mean to be ugly. It's just a fact. And probably some facts we need to hear them more often than we do, so that it will cause us to pursue holiness and righteousness at a greater level than what we do when we hear that we're all okay. I can just do what I want and it's okay. God loves me. Well, yes, He does. I agree with that. He loves you a lot. Loves you more than you love yourself. But anyway, let's read Romans 12, verse 3 through 8. For I say, through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith, or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Father, this morning, once again, we thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that your word reveals to me. It shows me where I am, where I stand in you. It also encourages me to live better, to do more, and to listen more intently to the Spirit of the Lord. Bless now our gathering together today. And Lord, may our ears be attentive to what you have to say in Jesus' name. Amen. This is one of the two New Testament passages in the Bible that talks about the gifts of the Spirit. You'll find the other one over in 1 Corinthians, the 11 through 14 probably, or just go over to 1 Corinthians 11th chapter, 12th chapter, and you'll read 12th chapter, the 13th chapter. Kind of goes into some detail about how you ought to operate in those gifts with love. And then you go to the 14th chapter and gives you more instruction about the gifts. All through there, you'll find lots of good instruction about the gifts of the Spirit. And you'll find out in 1 Corinthians that Paul was dealing with a church that was out of control. They were out of control. They didn't know how to operate with the gifts of the Spirit. And they were, here he's writing to the church at Rome and he says, you know, you hadn't ought to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. You ought to think soberly. In other words, don't get to thinking because you have a specific, particular gifting that you're better than, more important to the body than anybody else. You're not. We all have our place and our purpose and our gifting that God wants to use. But he says, earnestly desire the best gift. He didn't say go in there and seek the gift so that you can be more important than. He says earnestly desire the best gift, otherwise the gift that would be best for you to use within the body. But all the giftings and all the parts of the body are equally important. That's what the Word of God says and what it teaches. And we could go into that detail. You know, I can go over here and try to play a piano and you're not going to like what you hear. Because I can't play a piano, but the pianist can. We have two or three pianists in our church and maybe more. And they can play the piano and they can make it sound out the way it's supposed to sound. You couldn't sing with what I play. You wouldn't enjoy what I play. Because I can't play. I got one little tune I can do. I learned it when I was a kid. That's all I ever learned. I wasted a lot of years. But I don't have that talent. But God wants to use all of us in some specific way. So he lists some general categories of the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians and over here in Romans. And they're not, it's not an all-inclusive list, but it's some general categories of different giftings that the church has. So ever this emphasis in these lists is not on the believer identifying their gift perfectly, but on faithfully using the unique enablement that God has given to each of us. Not trying to be the perfect person that you can be, but making yourself available to God to be used of God wherever He needs to use you. In whatever capacity or way that He can use you. Make yourself available. Be faithful to what God has called you to do. There's more to it than just coming and sitting on a pew. God has things He can use you in. And He needs you to fill that role. If you don't fill that role, you may have been the only person in the congregation, especially a small congregation, you might be the only one there that really uniquely fills that specific role. But if you're not willing to do it, then who's God going to use? I'm sure eventually He'll bring somebody else, or He may even go ahead and pick somebody else out of the congregation that really, He really didn't want to use it that in that specific way. But they said, Lord, I'm available. Lord, I'm willing. Lord, I'll do it. Whatever you want me to do. If you don't want me to do anything, then Lord, okay, that's fine. I don't have to have a specific job. I don't have to have a specific ministry. I don't have to be elevated to a special place. But wherever you can use me, I'm available. That should be all of our desires. It's God, wherever you can use me. It doesn't have to be in any specific spot, any specific way. I don't have to prophesy. I don't have to be the one that gives the exhortation. I don't need to be the song leader. I don't want to be, Lord, fact is, I don't want to be the pastor. I've heard horror stories about that. I don't need any prestige, in other words. I just want to be used of God. That should be the heart's cry of every church member. Lord, I don't need any position of prestige. I just need to be used of you, and I'm available for wherever you can use me. That should be your desire, ladies and gentlemen, to be used of God wherever God sees, wherever the Holy Spirit sees, that you can be used in an effective way. So you need to learn to be faithful with this unique enablement God has given you. Look at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1 through, 11 through 14. And don't try to go backwards. You'll go to Acts. Go forward, okay? I was trying to go backwards. If you'll turn over there to chapter 12, verse 11. I got to get to the right place. I think that's where I want to be. It says this, but the one, we're talking about the Spirit of the Lord. See, the Spirit of the Lord is the one that enables you. There's one Spirit, that's the Spirit of the Lord. Talk about the Holy Ghost. Okay, I call Him the Holy Spirit a lot. He's the, however you want to go to the King James Version, call Him the Holy Ghost, that's okay. But whichever way you do it, whichever way you prefer, understand that He's the one that enables you. He's the one that decides what gifts you have. He distributes the gifts. We don't go to Him and say, Lord, I want to prophesy. Let me prophesy. No, you make yourself available. But He distributes the gifts how He sees fit. It says in verse 11, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each individually as he wills. Did that just prove what I said? He says, I distribute as I will, as I see fit. Not how you see fit, but as I see fit. In other words, he sees the intent of the heart. He sees the individual. He knows what they're best gifted at, what they'd be best used at. And then he picks and chooses and enables them. He does that. You don't go to him and tell him, Lord, this is what I'm going to do. He might just say, hey, go ahead, try it. Go ahead, try it. We need to be more like Gideon. Hide ourselves in the threshing floor and make God come seek us out with a special messenger. And then once he seeks you out, say, okay, Lord, I'll do it. But Lord, I might need some proof that that's what you want me to do. That's what Gideon did. He said, Lord, I'm of the smallest tribe. I'm the least of the tribe. Why would you choose me? Well, that's how you might feel too sometimes. God, why would you want to use me? I'm the least of the least. I have no abilities because God divides, or the Holy Spirit divides and gives, enables and gives the gifts as he sees fit. But you need to make yourself available to him. Then he goes on, for as the body, verse 12, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. And he goes on, you go on and read that, you'll find out how important different members of the body are in spite of whether they're purity or whether they're visible or invisible. Really, you get right down to it, the invisible parts of your body are probably more important than the visible ones. You certainly need what's going on inside to be working properly. And if any part of your body gets out of whack, what does it do? It affects all the rest of your body. It affects it. So we're all a part of the same body. So we need the whole body of Christ, to be working effectively and to be healthy. Come on now. You need to be healthy. Spiritually healthy. I know we've got a lot of sickness in the church right now, and we'd like for you to all be physically healthy too. And we've been praying toward that end, but we need a spiritually healthy body probably more than we need a physically healthy body. We need to be spiritually healthy. So he says it's the one and the self-same Spirit. While there are many gifts and there are many parts of the body, it's the one Spirit. There's a diversity of gifts. There's a diversity of guilt too. There's a diversity of gifts, but there's only one source of the gifts, and that's the Holy Spirit, who distributes the gifts as he will. Now, it's nothing wrong with wanting to do something for God. And there's nothing wrong with saying, Lord, I'd like to be used. There's nothing wrong with saying, Lord, you know, really, but he's, and to earnestly want the best gifts, there's nothing wrong with that. But you need to understand, it's not your call, it's God's call. It's the Holy Spirit who says, this is who I can use for this specific office or this specific gift. We don't like to hear this because we like to have control and be in charge. And we want to tell God what we're going to do and how we're going to operate and what gift we're going to be used in. It doesn't work that way. The Spirit of the Lord says, the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord is the one who divides or decides who gets what. Now that's contrary to us, isn't it? We want to go to the Bible and go to the Lord, sort of like we'd go to Walmart to the produce section. Or whatever section you like best. I don't like Walmart produce, by the way. It's nappy. Don't last as long as some others, in my opinion. That's my opinion. But you go there, and there's all kinds of variety, right? You go through Walmart, and there's all kinds of variety. I mean, you can get just about anything you want there. And you can pick what you want, usually, don't you? As long as you've got the money to pay for it, you can get whatever Walmart has, they'll let you have it if you pay for it. Right? God don't work that way. Not when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit. There are all kinds of them. You got nine a specific one spoken of or different examples there in 1 Corinthians. And then you go over to Romans and you got some more that's dealt with there. And it says, these are the gifts of the Spirit, different operations of the gifts of the Spirit of the Lord. But you don't get to go say, hey, Lord, I like this one right here. I like to have that. Put that in my shopping cart. When I get ready to check out, I'm taking that one with me. No, that's not the way it works. You take what God gives you, make yourself available to Him. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Church, we need to be available to God. I didn't choose to be a pastor. Come on now, that's a ministry gift. I didn't choose this. He chose me. I didn't ask for it. And I've asked, you know, I've questioned a few times, what was you thinking? You know, my wife questions that every day. What was he thinking? I should have left her alone today. I was going to, and I didn't. I done messed up again. We all sometimes, have you ever, I didn't ask for this. I had to make, but I made myself available, and I've told you that here recently. I fasted and I prayed. Days. Nights. I wept before the Lord. Lord, what do you want me to do? I know you've called me somewhere, but what is it that you've called me to? Then I knew for sure I was called to preach. Well, I didn't know. I had to keep praying. Lord, what do you want me to do? And then he started dealing with me on my job. And I drive home from Amarillo, Texas on my truck. And I'd pray and I'd sing Henson songs. And then I'd preach a sermon. And then I'd pray all the way home. I just pray and seek God. And I'd come home, well, Lena, I'm called to preach. Nah, you ain't either. Well, she don't do the calling. She wasn't in control of that part of my life. She's told me many times, if I'd known you were going to be a preacher, I would have never married you. She'd have missed out on the best God has to offer. I don't mean me. I mean the blessings of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow to it. My point is, I didn't ask for this, but I sought God, and God began to speak to me and say, this is the direction I'm leading you. I don't have a lot of the other gifts. Okay? I don't prophesy every great once in a while. Maybe twice, and three, four times in 24 years is all you got to prophesy out of this guy. That's not my gifting. I had a lady lay hands on me several years ago and said, you got the gift of healing. Well, I don't think she can give me the gift of healing. If she was speaking prophetically, if that's the case, I haven't seen it manifested like I think it should be manifested if I really have the gift of healing. Okay? I believe, I have faith. I believe God heals. And I've seen God heal in our church after our prayers. But usually I have other people pray too. It's not just me saying, hey, come up here. I'm going to lay hands on you because I have the gift of healing. I have never done that. But I know God heals. I know He's used this church in that ministry. And there may be some of you out there that actually do have a gift of healing that God has given you. Or maybe a temporary thing. Come on now, it don't have to be a full-time. I thought something was wrong with that. The head of that was about to come off. But I've tightened it up now. Could y'all hear it rattling? You thought I was nervous, didn't you? Do we need to share? I didn't think so. So, it's the Holy Spirit that distributes. Secondly, the gifts are not something to seek, but rather to receive from Him. You don't just seek the gifts, you seek the Holy Spirit, and then you make yourself available to Him, and then He distributes to you as He wills. You receive it. You receive it. It's like a free gift. When He decides He can use you in that gift, He comes up and says, here, this is what I want you to hear. This is yours. But if I'm going to give it to you, I expect you to use it. He don't want to just give it to you. So say, oh, I got the gift of prophecy. Hey, He wants you to use it. I have the gift of healing. Does it do you good to have that gift if you're not going to use it? or exhortation that you'll keep your mouth shut. You won't exhort. You won't tell people. You won't use what God's given you. You just want to keep your mouth shut. Well, I don't want to say anything that would harm somebody. You know what Abraham Lincoln said? The person who's incapable of making a mistake is incapable of doing anything. So we all make mistakes. Every one of us are capable of making mistakes. We might as well understand that even though you use the gifts of the Spirit and He gives to them and divides to them as He would, you still, along the way, will make a mistake. Don't worry about the mistake. Just pray through about it, ask forgiveness, and continue on being used of God. We all make mistakes in our life. Even the most spiritual people make mistakes, whether they want to admit it or not. You might as well admit it. You make mistakes. You do the wrong thing. You say the wrong thing. You just do things wrong. And I'll throw something else in just for the fun of it. I want you to understand this too. You cannot please people. You need to learn to please God. The rest of it will line up. If you're pleasing God and you know you're pleasing God, don't worry about what the people think. Be concerned about God. He holds life and death, not the people. He can bring you up or take you down, not the people. All the people may do some damage. Don't get me wrong. I understand that people can do some damage, but ultimately it's Him, it's God that'll make or break you. People might try to destroy you and they may bring you down. They may even run you out of the church. But ultimately it's God who'll raise you up. Put your faith in God, not people. If I'd trusted people, I'd left this church a long time ago. If I'd have listened to everything they all said, I'd have been gone. You could have called me gone because I'd have been leaving. And fact is, I thought about it a time or two. Prayed about it. Let me throw this in just for the fun of it. If next time you get disgruntled with this church or any church you may go to, instead of praying about leaving, why don't you pray about staying? People always, they come to me, Pastor, I've been praying about leaving. Why didn't you pray about staying? Maybe God would have changed your mind. Maybe you were right where you needed to be. But usually when they prayed about leaving, they've done made their mind up. Before I know about it, it's done. They're just doing a formality. And usually it's after they've been gone several weeks, and I call them, oh, I left your church. Or I'll go visit in their home and they won't even tell me that. They'll say, well, we'll see you next week. They done left. They didn't come back. Just be honest. Where'd that come from? I don't know. Probably made a mistake. Probably shouldn't have said it. The Holy Spirit divides the gifts the way He sees fit. And then it's His responsibility, it's He who works or energizes the gifts as He chooses. He works the gifts in your life. He energizes you to be used of God. You don't have to do it. He does it. He energizes you. You got to make yourself available. You got to live that righteous, holy life. You got to, you know, prove yourself. You got to do your part. But when it comes right down to it, He energizes you. It's Him. I like the Holy Spirit, by the way. I like what He does in my life. I like the way that He talks to me. I like the way that He takes over my speech every now and then when I pray in my secret closet. I love that. I love it. I love it. Because I know I'm doing some good when I can get down on my face and the Holy Spirit begins to speak on my behalf. It does a great work, and I come out of that refreshed. I come out of it refreshed. So He does it according to the grace that's given us. That grace is undeserved, it's unmerited. It's just like our salvation. This grace that God's given us is undeserved and unmerited, and your gifting is not because you so deserve something, it's because it's undeserved, it's unmerited grace of God that God's going to use you. But make yourself available. It's just a good teaching this morning. I hope it's good. I never know. You see, it's a gift. You see, number one, Look at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. I'll get there in a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. The same Spirit. There are differences of ministry, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Why does he give the gifts? To profit everybody. He don't give you a gift just so you can be profited or so you can feel important. He gives you the gift so he can profit the church. In other words, so the church can be edified and built up because of the gift that's in operation in your life. God wants to use you to edify others and to profit, to build up everybody. It's not something, that's why Paul said over in Romans the 12th chapter, don't get puffed up or don't get proud. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. God is using you. Did that make you feel good? God is using you. How many of you like to be used? You don't like to be used, do you? You don't like somebody to take advantage of you. But if you make yourself available, God says, I'll take advantage of you. I'll use you. But when I take advantage and use you, it's for the good of everybody. I'm not doing it to make you feel good about yourself. Although that's a byproduct of it, you'll feel good about yourself. If you're being led of the Spirit and you're being used of God, God's taking advantage of you. It'll make you feel good about yourself to know that God can use you. But don't get too thinking too highly. It's unmerited. It's His grace. And He's using you to profit everybody for the good of the body. It's like some salve that you might get for an abrasion or something. You put that on there and it's to bring healing. Right? It's to bring some healing. And the gifts of the Spirit, same thing. It brings healing in the church. It brings victory to the church. It sometimes reveals to the church or to individuals where they stand with God and a gift of knowledge or a gift of prophecy. And it'll show you where you stand with God. But it's for the good. Church, I want you to get to a place God can use you. I think most of you, a lot of you are there. Maybe all of you are. But this is just something we need to hear again so we know that God wants to use us. Take advantage of us for the good of everybody. In the process, it'll be good for you. It'll be good. And so he wants to, he's very specific. I read verse 5. There are differences of ministry, but the same Lord, and there's diversity, but the same of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. So there's results that works in all of us. It's a specific way that's used, and that's through the Holy Spirit. He different ministries, but He's used of Him. But there's always spiritual results. When it's God, there'll be results. We've had preachers come, and one of my very guy we've had for years and years and years, and we love him to death. We haven't had him in quite some time, but he's came and he's prophesied every year over this church certain things, and I've had some people come to me even recently and say, you know, so and so said this about our church, but Pastor, I've never seen it happen yet. I said, well, that's the truth. I haven't either, and I don't know if it's that he missed God. Or we've missed God somewhere down the road. I don't know. I mean, I'm just speculating here. Somebody missed God. Either he was wrong, or we've never came to that place of spirituality, that place of that God can use us to that capacity. Then I had somebody just this week come to me and said, Pastor, I know you don't see it. And this same person has told me this more than once, Pastor, I know you don't see it right now. Because he said, I know you walk by faith. I know that. He said, I know you don't see it, but I've seen this church full. And he says that quite often. He said, Pastor, I know, or he maybe he didn't always say, you don't see it, Pastor. He said, we don't see it yet. I know we don't see it yet, but I've seen in my spirit this church full. And so we just keep faithfully preaching, faithfully leading the church, still believing, still trusting God, still hoping, but doing our best to be satisfied. Not satisfied in that with no results, but satisfied that we're where God wants us and doing what God wants us to do. That's our job, is to get to a place that we're satisfied, that we're doing all we can do for God at this time. And then it's up to Him to give the results. One person's supposed to sow, another person waters, but it's God who gets the increase. God gives increase, then God gets the glory. Amen? So we don't know what the spiritual fruit of this 24 years in this church really is. We will never know that till we get to heaven. Okay? But I believe there's spiritual fruit that's been produced out of this congregation in the last 24 years that we'll never know till we get to heaven. I believe that. If I didn't, I'd be a miserable preacher. Because if you look by sight and not by faith, you look at what is instead of what we're expecting or hoped it is or has been, wow, it could be a little discouraging sometime, couldn't it? For all of us. We don't want to be discouraged. We understand we're where God wants us, and we're doing what God wants us to do at the time He wants us to do it and the way He wants us to do it, the best of our ability. And if we're doing that, we're successful. It's up to Him to give the results, as long as we're faithful. Do you understand what I'm saying? And you're a part. You're a great people. I hope you understand. I used to tell you all that, didn't I? Well, can I say that again today? And then maybe somebody hear it on the internet and believe it, because I believe it. You're one of the greatest churches in America. Amen. I believe that. I used to tell you that pretty often, and I think you got tired of hearing it. So I just tell you again, you're one of the greatest churches in America. And I can attest to that through different things if you've done over the years and what you're still doing. You're a faithful group of people. God bless you today. But we need these gifts in operation, don't we? That was a question. I didn't mind, wouldn't have minded if you would have answered an amen or a yes, or if you didn't agree, a big old no. But I'm not going to re-ask it, not right now. There are different gifts, and I haven't run out of time, but I don't really want to get started into the gifts. I've run out of stuff to say on that particular subject. But if you give me a moment, I'll think of something else. The gifts are important to the church. I'm going to read the list of the gifts in Romans, the 12th chapter. And then I think I'll turn back over to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and read that list of gifts. Then I want you just to think a little bit. Have I ever been used of God in any of these ways? And do I want to be? Just a question to ask you. Have I been, and do I want to be? It'd be all right to ask you that, or have you ask yourself that? Let's read it. Let's read Romans, the 12th chapter. And it says this, verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Before I read the rest of that, what did Paul say? Or the writer to the Roman church, having these different gifts, use them. If God's given it to you, use it. You can't use it up. You will not wear it out. Use it. If it's prophecy, prophesy according to your faith. In proportion to your faith. Or ministry, use it in ministering. If you teach, teach. Do it. If you exhort, do your exhortation. Do what God's called you to do. If you give, don't be stingy. It's That's what he says, give liberally. If you're a giver, God gives some people a specific gift of giving. That's their gifting. They have an ability to make money, they have money to give, and God has given them that gift to give money to the church, to his kingdom, to build his kingdom. I could name you a man in Oklahoma City that has that specific gifting in his life. He gives thousands of dollars to the church, to his local church, and he turns around and gives thousands upon thousands of dollars to world missions, to the Pentecostal Church of God. That's one of his giftings. He has the ability to make a lot of money, so he has the ability, and God has gifted him and given him the desire, the gifting, to give it away to the church. And you know what? He still lives in a nice big house, still makes all kinds of money, still is blessed beyond probably everybody in this room, and he gives it away, and then has all he can use. And gives it away, and it has more than he can use. And then gives it away, and has more than he can use. Why? Because God has gifted him, and he's using his gift liberally. He's not saying, oh, I might run out, so I gotta quit doing this. He said, no, I'm gonna keep doing it till I die. He's almost 70 now, and he's been doing this for as long as I've known him. I've known him for about 25 years or 30 years, and he's been doing it for that whole 25, 30 years, liberally giving money to the church. And God blesses him. Isn't that something? I know I burst y'all's bubble and I got off. I shouldn't have talked about money. I understand that. Maybe I made another mistake. No, I think you need to understand that some people have that gifting, and whether that's your gifting or not, you ought to participate because that's the Word of God. Well, you should. That's another good place for an amen. That made me feel good. Some of you don't even want to use your gift for that, do you? No, but you want to use it to keep that man humble. I thought so. That's from my newest board member. On your giving with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Have you ever shown mercy and you didn't want to? It was hard. You didn't like it. You didn't have the gift. If you have that gift, do it cheerfully. Say, I'm going to forgive. I'm going to show mercy. And I'm going to be glad about it. And it's hard sometimes, especially if you've been hurt. Done really dirty. Of course, none of y'all's ever been done dirty, have you? Yeah, I can see raised eyebrows all over the building. Yeah. Thoughts from some of you is already reverting back to that anger that you had. I can see it. Why'd you bring that up for? I didn't call no names. Yeah, but you might as well have because it's eating me up now. Dirty dog. Not you, Pastor, the person that hurt me. Whatever it is you do, do it as unto the Lord. Now go to 1 Corinthians, we'll read that list, and then I'm going to quit. I'll stop, I promise you. I'll stop, I promise you. Maybe not now, but I'll stop. 1 Corinthians. And let's get over. Okay, verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles to another, prophecy. To another, discerning of the spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the self-same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So there's another deal there. There's a giftedness. These categories of giftedness are not natural talents, skills, or abilities. They are sovereignly and supernaturally bestowed by the Holy Spirit, enabling us to spiritually edify each other effectively and to honor the Lord. That's what they're about. To edify one another and to honor Him. Not so we can be honored, but so we can edify one another and honor the Lord. and that's an exhaustive. That's not an exhaustive list. That's a list that it's a kind of a Pandora of things, where it covers a lot of different things through these two different areas. There's a lot of gifts, a lot of gifting that God desires to use in the church, but they'll fall under these categories, whatever it is. And God needs you. Sort of like the United States Army used to say, I need you, or Uncle Sam needs you, or whatever it was. I wish I hadn't even brought that up now, because I didn't know what it says. Anyway, what do you know? It don't matter. God needs you to make yourself available, a volunteer in His army. He doesn't want to draft you. He wants to make you a volunteer. He wants you to volunteer for His army. And as a Christian, when you become a Christian, whether you liked it or not, you really enlisted. Voluntarily enlisted into His army. You did. You're part of the army of God, the body of Christ, and you're important to the body. All of you are. Each and every one. God can use you. But you got to make yourself available and live right. Amen. Well, I'll stop there.